accredited to practice in the state of Massachusetts. John Wunderlich is a staff attorney who received a Bachelor's of Science and a Bachelor of Arts from Loyola in Chicago, and his law school degree is from Loyola, and he's admitted to practice in the state of Illinois. Your Honors, I move their admission.
Thank you very much, Mr. Fitzpatrick. Your motion is granted. We welcome you to our bar. We look forward to many years of constructive counsel and advice when you're standing on that side of the bar as opposed to this side of the bar where you are now. And I hope you all will enjoy your time practicing in this court as much as we will enjoy having you practice here. If you will turn in that direction toward the clerk who will administer the oath.
I'll leave outside, but then we'll.
We're ready to hear argument now in the case of the River of Life Ministries against the Village of Hazel Crest. Mr. Langan.
Issue in this case is whether a local government's commercial development interest should be allowed to excuse its disparate treatment of religious assemblies in the enforcement of its zoning laws. It was in response to discrimination of this very kind that Congress enacted the statute at issue in this case. The purpose of the statute was to extend broad protection for religious exercise in the land use context, and more specifically, to ensure that religious assembly uses would be treated on an equal basis with non-religious assembly uses.
So, Mr. Langdon, I have a preliminary question for you, which is whether you think this court is limited to choosing between the approach taken by the Third Circuit and the approach taken by the 11th Circuit, or whether you are, in fact, arguing that just the straightforward language of the statute, the equal terms language, is enough to resolve this case.
Our position, Your Honor, is that the equal term statute itself is enough to resolve this. So we wouldn't encourage you to adopt either the Third Circuit or the 11th Circuit test, but actually to adopt a test that would simply apply the text as it is written, to not import any kind of a similarly situated test, to not import a strict scrutiny test, as the 11th Circuit did, and to apply the plain meaning of the terms as Congress gave them to the court, and in effect to give purpose or give effect
to the
purpose.
What's so plain about equal terms? I don't understand that. Equal terms? It doesn't sound clear to me.
I'm sorry, Your Honor. I didn't hear the question.
Equal terms? What is clear about equal terms?
Well, Your Honor, the statute prohibits a municipality from treating a non-religious assembly on less than equal terms than a religious assembly. I think that on its face that statute directs a court to look only to treatment, not to motive.
So you don't equate it to discrimination?
No, there's a separate provision of RLUIPA that deals with discrimination. And so whether or not religion is the basis for the less than equal treatment isn't relevant in the context of an equal terms case.
Let me ask you this. I mean, when you see words like equal terms, usually you have to ask equal with respect to what? And the Third Circuit seemed to think it was with respect to objectives. Another possibility might be attributes. Would it be your position, for example, that your church, which is a very small organization, as I understand it, some 75 or so people, is similarly situated to a 5,000-person megachurch? Or do you see anything, you know, like all assemblies of 50 or less or of 100 or less need to be treated the same? In other words, how do we assess equality?
Again, I think that we look to the text of the statute, which the determination that needs to be made is whether or not both are assemblies. If one is non-religious and the other is religious, and it's determined they're both assemblies, then the only question that needs to be resolved is one treated less equally or less well than the other?
What I'm wondering is if the village said in the B2 service business district, we don't want any assemblies greater than 100 people. But, you know, if you're a church that's less than 100 people, that's fine. If you're a health club that's less than 100 people, that's fine. If you're, you know, the Moose's Lodge and you're less than 100 people, that's fine. So do you think the municipality in its zoning ordinance is entitled to adopt that kind of, you know, 100 people or less sort of requirement?
Yes, Your Honor. The municipalities do not lose any of the normal authority that they would have in the zoning context to restrict on the basis of size or height or setback or on the base or accessory uses, which is the issue that came up in the DeGruggier case. And as this court said in the DeGruggier case, the municipality can enact reasonable, religiously neutral restrictions. And so as long as they're apply across the board to whether it's a religious assembly or a non-religious assembly.
But aren't you just shifting all the pressure from the term equal terms to assembly? Right? So you're not going to treat every bar as an assembly, are you?
No, Your Honor. The term assembly isn't defined in the statute.
And so where do we look for the understanding of what assembly is?
I think that we look to the ordinary and natural meaning of that term.
That's ridiculous. You're all wrong. A word like assembly can only be defined purposively. You have to be thinking what the purpose of the statute is. Otherwise, you're not going to have any basis for distinguishing between a pool parlor or a peep show or a, you know, movie theater or something like that and a church. The movie theater and assembly certainly seat a lot of people.
Yes, again.
What do you mean, yes? Is it an assembly? A movie theater?
A movie theater would be an assembly. A movie theater is a place where a large number of people come together for a common purpose to be entertained.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. Is there any genuine limit on the meaning of this term? I mean, if any type of facility that occasionally hosts a group meeting or activity of some sort qualifies as an assembly, what's the limit here?
I think that we would look at what the primary use is in the zoning code. And so in the context of this case, the village allows gymnasiums, health clubs, hotels, daycare centers, things that are commonly thought of as assemblies, and things that generally fit the dictionary definition of what an assembly is.
So all it takes is some type of group activity to qualify?
I think that's right, Your Honor.
So if it's Kmart and they're having a blue light special, and a lot of people come because they want to get this toaster that's on the blue light special, in your view, that would be an assembly? They're all gathered there together to get the toaster.
Same purpose.
Your Honors, I will concede that if pressed too literally.
Yeah, okay, so now you're giving away your literalist position, right?
I'm
completely unsympathetic to your argument because you cannot define assembly without reference to some purpose in this statute.
Your Honor, the statute doesn't allow for that. It doesn't allow
But this statute, as you say, it doesn't define assembly. You can't define words in a statute without reference to purpose.
Well, I think that what the 11th Circuit did would be consistent with statutory construction if the legislature doesn't provide a definition, that we would look to the dictionary definition, the ordinary natural meaning. And so
all right, give me some dictionary definitions of assembly. You have them in your brief? You have a good definition?
We do. We use the one that the 11th.
Okay, what is that? What is that?
Company of persons collected together in one place and usually for some common purpose, such as legislation, worship, social entertainment. So that gets to the movie theater issue. And so to the extent, though,
well, that's a grocery store, too.
Well, I think
they have a bunch of people, and they're for a common purpose.
They're there for
certainly a mall.
Certainly,
I mean, mall. A mall. Malls are our sacred, are our secular churches.
Mr. Langdon,
hang out at a mall, you know, and
let me ask
an airline terminal, an assembly. Thousands of people milling around for a common purpose.
Well, they don't all have the same common purpose. They may be going there for a thousand different reasons.
Does it cover a couple watching television?
Pardon?
I say, does it cover a couple, a man and a woman watching television?
Again,
they're there for entertainment purposes.
When the term assembly is pressed very literally, it does have a tendency to suggest that there is no meaning, and therefore.
Okay, so where do we stop pressing? Where do we stop pressing?
What
do we use to decide how far to push?
Our view, Your Honor, would be that if this term is deemed to be ambiguous at all, and it would appear,
you don't regard it as ambiguous, of course.
Pardon?
You don't regard it as ambiguous. You think the answer is in the dictionary. It's all clear to you.
I would concede, Your Honor, that there is some
ambiguity. There is. Okay, so how do we resolve an ambiguity?
I think you look to the legislative history at that
point. So wait a minute, Mr. Lang.
Legislative history.
A whole list of what it deemed to be assemblies of using this term. Including
Before you go off into the legislative history, though, why can't we come back down to earth and look at the permitted uses as amended in this ordinance, all general commercial and retail uses, these commercial gymnasiums, health clubs and salons, dry cleaning establishments and so on, there's a list of uses. And why is it not enough just to look at whether the attributes of those uses look very much like the attributes of your client, the River of Life Ministries, and if they're about the same in terms of number of people, frequency of attendance, whatever zoning ordinances look at, why isn't that kind of functional analysis what you need?
I think, Your Honor, in that instance, this gets back to the issue of the village certainly can continue to enact religiously neutral restrictions on size and so forth, but if we start to build those in to the test such that the secular comparator is something of 1,000 people or more, then that would by definition eliminate a church like the River of Life, which only has 60 people. So I think the first thing that needs to be done.
But there wouldn't be anything unequal about, I mean, you know, we have to define assembly. We also have to define less than equal terms. I don't know why you don't like a functional approach.
Well, I believe because as we've seen with the Third Circuit, the functional approach allows a municipality to assert whatever interest it wants.
Now, the problem with the Third Circuit test is that it allows a municipality to define a term that's in a federal statute. It says that assembly means whatever criteria the municipality wants to use. The question you're being asked now is, how about a functional definition as a matter of federal law?
A functional definition of assembly?
Of the word assembly as a matter of federal law.
I guess, Your Honor, it's going to depend on what that functional definition is.
Well, and I'm suggesting if you look at the things you know are permitted in the ordinance, that's the baseline. And your job would then be to say either, yes, we're just like those things, and therefore there's an obligation under RLUIPA to let us be there under the equal terms provision, or you'd have to concede, well, actually, no, we're really different from those things, in which case you'd lose, you know. But
may I add to that? Go back before they amended it. They concede that before the amendment, that you would qualify. They're saying, yeah, and you're complaining because they amended it and jerked it out from under you. So they took out the comparators that would have qualified. So at least we have within this case a before and an after. Before, RLUIPA would have been violated. Afterward, they say it isn't.
They did remove a number of
what were they?
Meeting halls, recreation centers, But they also, we believe, Your Honor, left in some assembly uses, such as a gymnasium.
But the ones they took out, we're searching for a definition. So at least we have in this case examples of what the other side has admitted would be comparators.
Yes, but we don't necessarily have definitions of each of those types of uses. That's
well, at least admit those were comparators, right? You would like to have had those still in the statute.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, well, at least we have something to hold on to here before and an after. You're saying afterward it still qualifies, and that's where we are now.
We do, and we're playing the hand that is...
Well, is a bar an assembly?
I'm sorry, a bar?
A bar, yeah.
Your Honor, I think that to the extent that a bar were hosting some kind of an event where everybody was going to
I don't
one,
want your qualifications. Is a bar an assembly?
There have been...
You're fudging. You got your dictionary. You know, you love your dictionary. All the answers in the dictionary. So is a bar an assembly?
A bar is where people come together to
Why did you answer my question?
I don't believe, Your Honor, that a bar would be... comparable.
It fits the dictionary definition.
I believe, Your Honor.
Of course, it's not comparable. That's
why don't you
point,
want
obviously.
A bar to be an assembly? Taverns or cocktail lounges are in this ordinance, and if it is an assembly, there you go.
And if there's an entertainer there, people gather to see this comedian or singer or what have you on a regular basis. Maybe this man or woman's a big hit, so people.
Why wouldn't you say a bar is an assembly where people come together to lose God, and you've got an assembly where people come together?
That was fun. We Irish might disagree with that.
I think a bar is certainly a place where people assemble.
Look, you're just fudging it. It's a bar an assembly. You have the dictionary. You say the dictionary answers all your questions.
Your Honor, the bar
is an assembly.
Okay,
fine.
Fit within the dictionary definition.
Well, you're still fudging. Why don't you give me a straight answer? Isn't a bar an assembly within the meaning of the statute?
Congress didn't provide.
Oh, come on. So you can't answer the question. How are we supposed to answer the question?
My answer to the question is that we would use the dictionary definition, and to the extent that
you are impossible to talk to because you're so unwilling to say anything. You say you look at the. That's what I told you. Look at your dictionary and tell me whether a bar is an assembly.
And my answer is yes.
Okay, thank you.
What if you remove the idea that this is a church, and just define what that does other than practice some sort of religion? It has groups get together, they do certain things. If you say, but for the fact that it's a church, it does the same thing as X, Y, Z that are also allowed. And maybe they would have already been removed from the statute, from the ordinance. But if you just take out the religious purpose and then look at what is done at that church or whatever, they have a lot of things they say they want to do, then you compare it. Obviously, your opponent compared it and changed the law. They admitted that they would lose. Now they took things out, and now they say you...
They conceded that, and it
Well, I say where you answer a lot of these questions by saying, before the ordinance was changed, that's an example.
Before the ordinance was changed, there were a number of examples.
Yeah, right. That's what we're looking for.
After the ordinance was changed, we still think there are some...
Okay, well, then argue those. But don't say there isn't such a thing and there's no definition or the statute doesn't say so. We have an admission in our before us, and we're looking at this case.
And so if you could review which parts of the existing ordinance you think count as assemblies, then we'd be able to find out they're admitted and you're not, and so you'd have your equal terms case made. So what do you think counts in the current ordinance as an assembly?
I think that the best one is the gymnasium. And we think that the village...
Why is that better than a bar? Why is that better than a bar?
Pardon?
Why is that better than a bar?
It may not be. It may be that there
is... You were the one who said it was, so...
a gymnasium, again, if we look... The village zoning code has a very thick section that deals with all the definitions of the terms. Gymnasium is not one that's in there. So, again, I like the dictionary. I would look to what is the dictionary, how does the dictionary define a gymnasium, and it defines it as a large room used for various indoor sports where there are typically spectators. And so if we engage in this comparison and that Your Honor indicated, the church could go into a place that we would think of as a gymnasium where there are bleachers on both sides.
Is that the kind of gymnasium that's involved here, or is it the kind where people come and do aerobic workouts?
Well, the
which are not attended by spectators.
Yeah, because the ordinance allows
has a separate use for that, and it would be a health club. And so a gymnasium, again, we would defer back to the common understanding of what a gymnasium is. I think of that when I was in grade school, we always went to the gymnasium for assemblies. We went to the gymnasium after school to watch basketball games. We were there for a common purpose to watch a sporting event.
Without the religious purpose, what is the common purpose or the common act? You take out your whole organization, what you're talking about is going to do. Take away the fact that there's going to be a preacher there twice a week talking about God and the Bible, etc. What else do they do, and compare it to a gymnasium, what they do?
And make it a commercial gymnasium, because that's the term in the ordinance, right? It doesn't just say gymnasium, it's commercial gymnasium.
That's correct, Your Honor. The previous ordinance, the one that was amended,
right,
was just gymnasium.
Exactly.
And then they added commercial to it.
And that makes a difference, doesn't it?
Well, first of all, it suggests to me that they were concerned about that. They thought that that was an assembly. And so the way to attempt to circumvent that is to add the qualifier commercial. But the statute isn't going to take into account whether it's commercial or not.
You look at the statute very narrowly. There's another way to look at it, and that's to look at the relationship between the substantial burden provision and the equal terms provision. You say, well, the equal terms provision should be very, very narrow, because it doesn't have any burden requirement. So it's just for situations where, you know, very comparable facilities are permitted, and it looks really fishy because they're basically identical. One is religious, one non-religious. The substantial burden is much broader and enables you to mount a good case, even if even if the equal terms falls out, you have to prove some actual injury. So why isn't that the proper balance, rather than putting so much weight in equal terms, where you don't have to prove anything, and just you go to the dictionary, and yet you can, you know, so if you take the practical situation of Hazel Crest, you want to have this commercial development. The church is not going to help them with the commercial development. Now, it could be that your church can't find any other place and this and that, and then you might have a good substantial burden claim, right? But at least then, you know, then there'd be a balancing of interests of the city, the people, the commuters and all that, and the religious people. Whereas here, you're really kind of avoiding having to prove anything by defining equal so broadly that includes the bars and everything, and then the city can't do anything.
Your Honor, we certainly appreciate the efforts that the village is making to try to improve that area. The church believes that it will, its presence there, if it ever is allowed to occupy its property, will also improve that area. We'll work alongside the village.
Well, that's the kind of analysis, you know, you'd have with substantial burden, but do you want to pour that into equal terms? I mean, you're going now far from the dictionary. If you want to say that, you know, it's important to decide whether the church is actually going to improve Hazel Crest's commercial future. You want to do that under equal terms?
No, Your Honor.
No.
Could I ask you about the current situation of the church anyway? In the briefs, there was some indication that the church was hanging on by the skin of its teeth in this other rental property and really needed this all resolved quickly. And for one reason or another, time has gone by. The church is still in about the same position it was when this was before the district court?
Yes, Your Honor, the church is still in existence. Again, they've had changes in circumstances. They've had increased rent costs. Their rent increased, but the number of hours that they have access to the church that they're renting decreased. It went from 5 to 7 a week down to 4 to 6 a week, yet their
But they still exist, and this is all still something that they still own the land in Hazel Crest, et cetera.
They do, Your Honor, and they're very much hopeful that if a preliminary injunction is issued, that they will be able to occupy the premises and they will be able to fix it up. They will be able to begin helping and being a good part of that community and helping the village with its
Mr.
revitalization.
Mr. Langdon, may I?
Has it grown at all?
Pardon?
Has the church grown at all in population?
I don't know that the answer to that, Your Honor.
Are the purposes of the village and its zoning ordinance relevant at all?
No, I don't believe so. Not in making the determination of whether the equal terms provision has been violated. I think that some of what I've been discussing gets to the question of the balance of harms, which, of course, is what ultimately...
You'd rather just rely on that and try to define assembly.
I'm not sure I understand the question, Your Honor.
Well, if you're not going to consider the purposes of the zoning, you say that's irrelevant.
Yes, Your Honor. Under the equal terms statute, we would say that the...
So that throws you back to this plain meaning approach and trying to define what an assembly is.
Yes, on the merits, that is our position.
You think you've got an easier case there than if you tried to deal with the purposes of the zoning ordinance?
Well, the problem with dealing with the purposes, as has been indicated, is that a village or a municipality is always going to have purposes, and most of the time they're probably going to be unrelated to religion. It may be this buffer zone requirement that's triggered by state law. It may be just that churches don't generate tax revenue. Whatever the excuse that they have, it's not something that Congress...
They can't have a purpose, is what you're saying, is that...
Not for purpose. They can have a purpose, but it won't affect the equal terms provision. In other words,
it makes the substantial burden part of the statute almost surplusage, because what you're really saying is a church can locate anywhere in a commercial zone. You're never going to find a commercial zone in which you don't have assembly under your definition.
I'll look back to what Congress had in mind here again.
Well, look, that's the implication. It has nothing to do with what Congress. That's the implication. There'll never be a possibility of precluding a church from locating in a commercial zone.
Well, again, Your Honor, I'll come back to we're not.
I don't want you to come back to anything. That's right, isn't it? Am I wrong? Can you imagine a commercial zone which didn't have something that you would regard as an assembly, like a restaurant, a grocery store?
Sure, I can imagine that they could exclude all of those things, and they could have.
Well, what would they be? What would they be doing that for? Excluding everything? Office building? You can't have a drugstore on the first floor or something? Of course, an office building obviously has assembly places in it, conference rooms, right?
These are all issues that I think Congress does. These are policy questions, I think. The Congress has...
Well, the question is whether Congress did something absurd. It passes this substantial burden provision, which suggests, you know, churches have to make a showing if they want to override a zoning ordinance. Then you come along and say, well, with equal terms... We don't need substantial burden because the churches can locate in any commercial zone. Now, churches generally are, new churches are in commercial zones. They can't afford the residential property, and they don't want to be in a manufacturing zone.
So churches have nowhere else to go.
That's true, but when they go into a commercial zone, they're supposed to be able to show that they're, and, you know, we've had loads of cases on that, they show that, you know, they need this. There's no other place for them. It is a substantial burden. And at that point, you know, they will often win. But you're making it automatic.
By applying the statute.
Mr. Langdon, under this approach, I want to talk a little bit about the purposes here and ask you about that. With the economic development effort here. I understand Congress was tired of local governments always just invoking economic interests to exclude churches. But if I understand your argument correctly, if you've got this kind of a program in place, let's assume it's better and more effective than this Hazelcrest program. Taxpayers invest a lot of money in infrastructure to improve commercial developments. They may borrow a lot of money with the promise we'll pay it back with the increased taxes that we generate, right? Under your scenario, if I understand it correctly, your church and several others would be entitled to come in and effectively preempt the entire economic development zone and neutralize that effort entirely. Is that right?
I'm not sure that I would agree that we would be preempting their economic development plan. We think that we would be contributing to it.
They disagree with that. And if you've got all properties that are controlled by churches that aren't paying taxes, that don't have to pay taxes, how would they pay back the bonds?
Well, they disagree, but their consultants, when they were putting the development plan, told them that having churches in a district like this would actually be helpful. When they have,
would you agree that your position, though, would allow churches to come in and say, if they can work out market transactions, we're moving into all of this space?
Well, I don't.
Did you ever volunteer to do that? I mean, this is a preliminary injunction. Did the church ever say, well, I know you've got this long-term plan, but at least for the time being, let us stay here and we'll undertake to move back out as soon as you come up with somebody who's a more attractive tenant?
Can you repeat the question?
Well, you know, you made a big deal of the fact that 10 years has gone by since the village adopted this plan and nothing has happened. And so what it caused me to wonder is, did you ever say, well, at least for the time being, you know, if somebody comes along someday and wants to buy this property from us and put it to the use that's compatible with the economic redevelopment plan, so be it. But at least in the meantime, rather than have it derelict, let us use it. Did you ever say that to them?
I've not made that offer to the village, no, Your Honor.
And can you conceive of a zoning regulation that would ever be strong enough or clear enough to prohibit a church from coming into a commercial area?
Under the equal terms provision?
Yes.
I can conceive of, as I look through their uses right now, I could conceive of a number of those as not being assembly uses. So, yes, I wouldn't consider office space to be
assembly. I don't understand you. Office space has a lobby, and they have conference rooms, and a bar is an assembly, but an office building does not contain assembly.
When people come together in a conference room in an office building, they would be assembling. But I wouldn't consider the office building itself that use.
I know, but it contains assemblies, right? It contains assemblies.
It contains assemblies, but that's not the primary use. The primary use is that it's an office building, and people are coming, going to individual offices.
But the bar, the primary use is drinking, right? The assembling is incidental. Now, this is chaos, really.
Plus, the primary use that the church anticipates is for religious services. You make some reference to the daycare center, but that's just one aspect of it, right? Not the primary use of the church.
Correct. Yes, the primary use would be to assemble for worship.
Mm-hmm. And so, let's say a monthly book club was meeting, and there were 10 or more people, would that give rise to a RUPLA claim? They're just in a building, in this commercial zone. They come together every month, 10 of them, to have a book club meeting. Would that be an assembly?
Yes, I believe so, Your Honor.
How about religious people who meet in a home? Is that an assembly?
They are assembling for worship.
Does that make the home an assembly?
The residential use itself I wouldn't consider to be an assembly, but when used in a particular way where people are coming together for purposes of worship or to read a book, whatever it might be, then they certainly are.
You're digging yourself a pretty deep hole because the First Amendment protects the right of the people peaceably to assemble for redress of grievances. So no state, no city can ban peaceable assembly for redress of grievances. Therefore, there are assemblies allowed everywhere. Therefore, churches are allowed everywhere. But that can't be the meaning of sub B, because then sub B just means, not only does A go away, but B ends up meaning churches can be established everywhere. Right? So you can't have as broad a definition of assembly as you've just taken. We need something functional. But your time has expired, so maybe we will have to pursue this with Mr. Murphy. Mr. Murphy.
Please the court, John Murphy for the Village, Irish also. I'd like to might note that for us it's the only difference between a commercial gymnasium and a bar is what we do when we are curling our arm. So I'd like to start my argument by responding, by following through the line of inquiry of Judge Posner, because I think it illustrates that the absolutist argument of the church really renders commercial zoning meaningless. And then I'll take a crack at the functional inquiry from Judge Wood. Counsel for the church said that a movie theater can be an assembly and a bar can be an assembly. By that logic, it's more than implicit, as you asked, Your Honor. It's explicit. They're saying that in any commercial district whatsoever, a church can have the right to locate under equal terms. If Hazelcrest created a CS zoning district consisting only of casinos and strip bars, under plaintiff's absolutist approach, we would have the obligation to allow a church to locate between that casino and that strip bars.
Well, I don't understand why you find that so awful.
It destroys commercial zoning.
But why isn't the right approach to start from those things, whether it's the casino and the strip bar, whether it's the things in your actual ordinance, and look at the characteristics of those things and see if they are in fact close enough to what this church is like that there would be an equal terms violation? You deleted a lot of things from the ordinance when you amended it, but you left a few things in. I think you accidentally left in through the back door daycare centers, and you left in these commercial gymnasiums and health clubs that we've been talking about. But why doesn't one just look at the attributes of those and see if it's about the same as the church? It strikes me that you might conclude in many districts that permitted uses are envision heavy industry, or they envision a different kind of activity. Maybe in other instances they don't. But we need to bring this down to earth, I think.
Looking at the definition of assembly, I mean, it's undefined in the statute. Does it refer to the building, or does it refer to the activities of the people who would occupy the building?
Now, well, actually, the word appears with an or construction, with a non-religious assembly or institution. Now, you could perhaps gain some insight about what the statute is getting at by realizing that they've lumped together a non-religious bracket assembly or institution.
It can't refer to the building.
Excuse me?
Can't refer to the building. This is a land use regulation.
Correct.
Use is different from area regulations. They're different from density regulations. This focuses on the use of the property.
Correct. So the focus on the use, when the words assembly and institution are used, would appear to us to connote the activities of the users. Who are the users? What are they doing?
And there's a way to arrive at a semantic understanding. Assembly, as that term is used in this context, in this statutory scheme, given the structure of the statute, that is narrower than that which the church is offering, but that allows the statute to do some work.
We believe so. And
but that's not the Third Circuit's approach.
The Third Circuit approach, it focuses on the goals of the
right.
Entity.
That's clearly an improper interpretation of the equal terms provision.
If we focus then on the users in terms of what is an assembly, it seems that it would connote, it would mean a group of folks who have a common interest getting together, as opposed to the random happenstance of I go to the bar, you go to the bar, or we happen to like the same movies.
So what about Judge Williams' Kmart blue light sale?
A grocery, a grocery store is the same as a bar or a tavern or a movie theater. They are individual decisions made by individual customers to purchase individual items, which in her hypothetical happen to be on sale.
So do you think it has to be a pre-existing group? Is that your argument?
Whether it's certainly not in the formalistic sense of being incorporated or something, but a group of people who chose to meet, to discuss that an ad hoc organization to bring home rule to the municipality or an ad hoc organization to...
Well, you're now setting up the question, what about the hotel? Because one thing that's perfectly common at hotels is to host regular meetings of groups. The weekly meeting of the Rotary will meet at the Hotel Hazelcrest, right? The Moose Lodge will meet at the hotel. Other things meet at hotels in assembly areas in pretty much the same way people meet at churches on Sunday morning. Now, why would the hotel, on that understanding, a place where a regular group regularly meets, not be an assembly?
Well, that activity in a hotel, Your Honor, that I think it's fair to call that an accessory use.
There's nothing about accessory use in the federal statute. It just defines assembly. It's perfectly normal for one building to have two kinds of things in it. A building might have in it, on the left side, a grocery store, and on the right side, a movie theater. And you wouldn't say the movie theater isn't an assembly because the sales of the grocery store are greater than the sales of the movie theater. I just want to know whether, if you've got a hotel and it's got meeting rooms that are regularly used by affinity groups like Rotary, that wouldn't be an assembly.
That particular occupancy would have to be considered an assembly. And if the village of Hazelcrest had an ordinance that said social groups or political groups may utilize a hotel meeting room, but a religious group may not, that would be a violation of the statute because it's based on the activity that's going
No, look, if I understand the plaintiff's argument, it is that the village's actual zoning code allows the Rotary to meet in hotels in this district every week, but does not allow the church to meet in its regular place of worship every week. And that's a perfectly straightforward comparison once you concede that the Rotary meeting in a hotel every week is indeed an assembly. Now, I thought maybe you would say, well, look, actually, the kind of hotels we contemplate are purely residential hotels, not the kind that have the Rotary or the Moose, but you didn't say that, and the ordinance doesn't seem to restrict hotels in that way.
We don't know in Hazelcrest what the market will bear.
Not a question of what the market will bear, but what the ordinance allows. Does the ordinance allow a hotel to be created with meeting rooms that will host affinity groups?
That answer depends on the building regulations, whether the structure can be big enough to accommodate those rooms,
So as amended, I think the ordinance used to be very clear that it did include that sort of thing. Now it just says hotels and motels. And so you've neither affirmatively permitted it, which you seem to think is necessary, nor have you affirmatively excluded the possibility of the kind of affinity group that the Chief Judge is talking about. And I'm not sure that your idea that there has to be affirmative permission for social groups is consistent with what we normally understand.
This language becomes more difficult as we move into different hypotheticals, because theoretically there could be separate meeting room rented above a dry cleaner's for that.
Aren't those important facts from the church's point of view? Because if it really turns out that somewhere in this B2 service business district in Hazelcrest there were a hotel and it had those kinds of meetings, then it's a pretty straightforward case for the church.
Those facts were pursued to a little bit because our village manager testified what was there at this point, which of course is not much. And plaintiff's theory of the case did not involve any individualized assessment of what hotel might be built there versus what the church does.
Doesn't that take us to another point that we need to consider in this case? We're here on a preliminary injunction appeal, and one way of looking at this is that the church has shown very concrete harm that come to it from this standoff, and the village just has a lot of predictions and speculation, and it's hard to see where predictions and speculation should win out over concrete harm.
The record indicates that the village has been spending real money in aid of the TIF district.
But nothing's built yet. It's plans, right?
It's planned, and plaintiff talked a little bit outside the record, if I might, since the date of the preliminary injunction hearing. One of the things that hasn't happened, of course, is any discovery. They haven't pushed the lawsuit. Secondly, the village has spent several hundred thousand dollars to demolish buildings to try to put a parking surface on. Now, to be sure, the world in February of 2008 is a heck of a lot different since the economy cratered. So nothing's going on anywhere. But with a TIF district, you know, this TIF district overlaid on top of the regular commercial zoning demonstrates the village's commitment to, we've got to generate sales tax, property tax. This is the only place we've got left in town. If you know Hazelcrest, it's right there on the IC tracks at 170th Street, and that's all we've got.
Can I go back a wee bit, please? And if you throw into this whole mix hotels that hold religious weddings on a weekly basis, and there are many. I mean, there are hotels that have religious weddings, you know, twice a week. What does that do to the art?
I don't think it allows a church to be built. I just want to return a little bit to the point that I made before, that a hotel really, let's just say for the most part, they're individualized decisions. I'm going to stay here overnight. You're going to stay there for three nights. If as a part of the income generating for the hotel, they offer, we do weddings, we do bar mitzvahs, we do eighth grade graduations. It's not, at that point, it's none of the village's business as to what those individual people decide to do in that assembly room, whether it's to have a Catholic mass or to talk politics. But that, I think, Your Honor, is conceptually different from land use itself, taking property in our setting, taking property off the tax rolls, and allowing a tax-exempt entity, whether it's the YMCA or the church, to operate there, because that impeaches our goal with the TIF district. I know the court, the Patel case.
Well, I think you want to stress that a big difference between a hotel and a community center or senior citizen center or something, it's a commercial use. And you'd think that the assemblies, you want to compare religious assemblies with our non-commercial. Because
yes,
we had in this DeGruzillier case, we had a district that had been zoned as what was called an office buffer district. I don't know if you have that in Hazelcrest, but it was supposed to be transitional between residential and commercial. So it had activities that were not residential, but they also weren't commercial. They were all sorts of daycare centers, senior citizen centers, civic clubs, libraries, museums, and so on.
Wow.
That's very much, those are very much like churches in terms of their economic character as well as their number of people they see.
Whereas non-religious assemblies, just to follow up your point, Your Honor, would typically be Elks Club, Lions Club, YMCA.
Well, there's a presumption, isn't it, that with the hotels that they are not providing the service of doing a wedding for free.
Well, that's correct. Or
doing the bar mitzvah for free. I mean, that's generating income.
We hope they are generating sales taxes, and we hope they're paying their property taxes, which is the essence of why we've narrowed this one zone to just be our hoped for money making district.
But let me go back to the equal terms provision, because I'm concerned actually that if any municipality is entitled to say we just don't want any non-commercial entities, by which I guess we're defining them to be entities that don't pay sales, you know, any kind of property tax or other forms of tax. I don't see how that's necessarily consistent with less than equal terms with a non-religious assembly or institution. There are all sorts of money-making institutions, or at least they don't qualify under the tax code for property tax exemption. You could define religious organizations out of your town altogether.
Well, I think that the answer to that question is really, in part, one of the inquiries of Judge Posner to plaintiff. That I believe, would be more of a substantial burden test. What the substantial burden test does, it makes the plaintiff work for his relief.
It actually doesn't. The substantial burden test puts the burden on the government to demonstrate that the imposition of the burden furthers a compelling interest and is the least restrictive means. It's not the plaintiff's burden.
No, but it does become a fact-sensitive inquiry in terms of what is the church proposing, what are the surrounding uses, what's actually going on in Hazelcrest in 2012 when the zoning was denied. And then you have the normal zoning-related criteria. Why would it hurt here? Do they have enough parking? Here, the attempt to utilize equal terms with the way that plaintiff has described it is an attempt to achieve a quick knockout punch with what we believe, under their arguments, are strained, unrealistic comparisons between these commercial zones. It may be... You know, they did allege substantial burden, but we demonstrated, you know, that there was a lot of land in Hazelcrest, a lot of land available for it, and we have a lot of churches in town. So they backed away from that. They chose to opt for the knockout punch, and we don't believe that the comparisons that they've drawn, a movie theater, a bar, hotels, motels, we don't
movie
think
movie theaters
that those...
are movie theaters permitted? Is that a general commercial or retail?
No, that was Judge Posner's hypothetical.
I was going to say, I mean, why they wouldn't have been putting proof in about movie theaters if they're not permitted.
I think, Your Honor, on B1, it's kind of the catch-all, you know, that the village is looking for anything that generates commerce.
Right, so, now, in terms of the amount of property that's available for churches, is over 90% of the property in Hazelcrest?
Yeah, virtually all of Hazelcrest. It's a bedroom suburban community. We've got the IC tracks, and we've got two corners at 175th and Kesey, 183rd and Kesey, that got, you know, dying shopping centers. But the rest of the town, there's land available.
In this particular area is what, about an 8-block radius?
It's just, if you look at our appendix, it's that little strip of land right on the IC. When the boom was going, a lot of towns did exactly what we were trying to do. Transit-oriented development, commuter-oriented development. That's what we were trying to hope, that the people who take the IC downtown will come back, you know, stop, have a beer, spend some money, drop off their dry cleaning, and in the meantime generate greater property taxes so we can have the money to buy the land for the parking lot.
Didn't the church commit here to stay on the property tax rolls, that they would decline the exemption?
They agreed. They made that offer during the course of
the litigation. Does that make a difference?
Pardon me?
Does that make a difference?
It doesn't make a difference to the village.
I thought it was the money you wanted, though.
Well, it's... First of all, I don't believe I sound like the last case. I can't give you a 95% assurance that that's an enforceable promise that a religious institution can stay on the tax roll. Secondly, it takes away from that slot a potential Starbucks coffee or a potential somebody that will stay and help us and help serve the commuters going back and forth. Maybe the dry cleaner will go there. After all, this used to be, it used to be commercial and industrial property. So while the payment of taxes is an element, it's actually the use and what it does in terms of the, you know, the goals that we have as this transit-oriented, commuter-based district. And you're right, it's not very big at all. And it's our only hope for economic development, our only hope to answer what the people in town want, which is a little relief on their property tax burden.
In the Lighthouse case, the Third Circuit, as you know, proposed an analysis which looks to the purposes of the zoning regulation. And that opinion, of course, is accompanied by a dissent by Judge Jordan. And one of the points that he makes is that with that approach, it becomes too easy for the municipality to manipulate things against the churches. What's your comment on that?
There may be a fact setting where that is shown, but...
Is that approach inherently lead in that direction?
I don't think it inherently does, because when municipalities are dying for economic development and they're looking to establish a TIF district, it's a very public process. It takes time to do it, and there's a huge public vetting. It's not the sort of thing that can be done in the cloak of night. A municipality that spends $25,000 or $50,000 to establish a TIF district is not doing it to masquerade antipathy towards one particular building being operated by a church. We're trying to jumpstart a very, very tired old area of town. Our village manager says we welcome churches. I think in your hypothetical, Your Honor, there would be plenty of opportunity that if a town did shenanigans, well, the World Outreach case, Your Honor, just wrote a couple of months ago, talked about, was in the context of malicious prosecution, but you smelled funny business based on the allegations of the complaint, and you let the complaint move forward. So I think there's plenty of breathing room to allow a plaintiff challenging a exclusion of churches from a commercial zoning district to attack that if he has the facts.
This is a facial challenge.
This is a facial challenge. If you recall, the 11th Circuit got kind of that three-part analysis, but this was purely a facial challenge, as you heard from plaintiff's argument. A movie theater is an assembly, ergo, the church goes in.
Right, so we're not concerned about...
Sorry, we can't hear you, Don.
We're not concerned about subjective antipathy on the part of government actors. We're concerned about what the statute means, applies in this situation. And the problem here is that both definitions offered by the parties are at the extremes. One renders the statute practically useless, if not completely useless, and the other is so broad that there's no limiting principle, and nobody's proposing a third way. Well, nobody from that end of the podium is proposing a third way.
We had no quarrel with the 11th Circuit's dictionary definition.
But the 11th Circuit approach is a strange amalgam of the equal terms provision and the substantial burden provision. The 11th Circuit looks at the equal terms and then suddenly it pops over into a discussion of strict scrutiny. And I don't know where it got that from the language of...
That's another challenging aspect of that opinion.
Can I take that as a sign that you're not relying on the 11th Circuit's opinion?
Well, when I got the panel decision, I was relying on the 3rd Circuit.
Right. If we changed the law, then you're relying on the 11th, right?
Well, I think my answer, Your Honor, is that in terms of figuring out what's an assembly, my goodness, you folks have been trying to figure out what equal protection means for a long time.
Without success.
But to use it, that court went to the dictionary and said it's a group of people with some sort of pre-existing common bond. Maybe that works, but it's an assembly is a group of people. It's the Democratic Club. It's the Lions Club. It's a prayer club that's formed. It's a Stop the War Club, but an assembly is not strangers coming to Kmart. It's a pre-existing group of people who share a common belief.
I think what you're saying, it's actually a rather intuitive concept. It's not easy to reduce to words, like many intuitive concepts.
It's tough, but I just don't think that looking at what we've done in...
But that, of course, was what set up my question. The pre-existing affinity group appears to be precisely what the zoning code allows to meet at a hotel, raising the question whether the hotel isn't an assembly for purposes of this statute. That's my problem. You give a real definition of the word assembly that provides a limiting principle, but it looks like a limiting principle that leads to your adversary winning the case.
Well, Well, I certainly don't intend that. But the hotel conference room, I think, certainly under the facts of this case, is a hypothetical. And if the predominant use of hotels is people to check in and stay overnight, hotels pay big property taxes, hotels generate significant sales taxes.
I think, counsel, the better answer is that the zoning code operates on the hotel as a hotel and not on the subsidiary uses that it might from time to time permit, weddings, bar mitzvahs, Kiwanis meetings, et cetera. Those are typically subject only to building code requirements about how many people you can have on the property at one given time.
And indeed,
sort of
even meeting rooms are rented rooms in the hotel. Are they not? Well, they're just larger rooms.
And it's a larger room where there are different people.
Right.
Different pay scale.
If you had a hotel there, would you really have any objection to periodic rentals by the church?
We wouldn't. Of course, zoning decisions are made at the front end.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we wouldn't know.
Yeah. You wouldn't try to tell the hotel who can rent their property, yeah. Who can rent their rooms, would you?
In Hazelcrest Tax Increment Financing District, if they pay,
Well,
that's right. Your bottom line is this is all about the money.
Limited
commercial district.
But your opponent actually agrees with you about the hotel. He doesn't know it. But he said that the conference rooms and other meeting places and office buildings do not make the office building an assembly, because that's not the primary purpose. And that's the same with the hotel.
Same argument. It's the same principle. And I think, but Judge Sykes, to follow your point, when we decide something at the front end to approve Motel 6 or the Wyndham, we don't know what's going to happen in there. It's just
right. And zoning codes operate against the property owner, or perhaps the less
Yes, a generic,
the
global.
The leaseholder.
Generic, yes.
Right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, counsel. Mr. Murphy, we asked you a long series of questions when you were trying to sit down. So, I'm sorry. Mr. Murphy, I'm done with you. Mr. Langan, we asked you a long series of questions, so I'll give you 2 minutes for rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor. Just a couple of points.
You might address the question whether you really concede what Judge Posner said you just conceded when you were sitting.
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Office building.
To the question, the village indicated that it would accept anybody that's willing to pay. And so if the church wanted to rent out a hotel and use it, that the village would gladly accept that. But the problem with that is in this same district, there is a restriction that says no church services may be conducted in any building designed for business use. So there is no other provision that deals with any other type of political club, Kiwanis, anything to that effect. So anything that might be deemed a commercial assembly use wouldn't even be permitted to rent its facility to a church based on this provision here as well.
So you can't have weddings and bar mitzvahs in Hazelcrest. So you cannot have a religious wedding or a religious bar mitzvah in the hotels in that area.
Conceivably, yes. I mean, it says church services. So whatever you consider to be a church service would be absolutely prohibited in any business use, whether it's an assembly or not.
Wait a second. At the end of a day in a commercial facility, if five people want to have a little Bible study, you're saying they couldn't do that in Hazelcrest under this ordinance? At the end of the day, work is over at whatever the commercial facility is. They could not gather under this ordinance?
I would think that would be a reasonable interpretation of this provision that says it says no church services. Now, whether a Bible study constitutes a church service...
What constitutes a church service? Everybody that goes to the River of Life ministries may go individually, right, that day? They don't have to have four other people in agreement to go to the service, right?
Correct.
Of your church? I mean, that's true of every church. You can go individually if there's nobody there.
That's right.
Right? So I'm not sure I get your distinction about why this ordinance would preclude this Bible study after work at a Starbucks.
May or may not. I don't know how the village defines church services. Intuitively, how I would think of a church service would be coming together and there's going to be singing and perhaps prayer and that sort
Why?
Of
thing. Why? Where do you get how do we get this definition of, other than our common understanding? Is that where you're working off of, common understanding of a church service?
Yes, it's not defined in the zoning code, so that would be where I would get that.
Well, then, is that in derogation at all of your strict approach, you know, your strict language approach, if we're getting into how we define a religious assembly versus a non-religious assembly?
Well, I simply brought up the point to, in response to the assertion was made that the village would be very open to something like that, where if there was a hotel that had meeting rooms and those meeting rooms were used by a variety of different political groups and business groups and other things that came in, would a church be permitted to rent that meeting room, that conference room? And it's the hotel that's the one that's paying taxes, so the village is going to be happy. They're getting their taxes. But what I'm suggesting is at least there's a possibility here that under this ordinance that the church wouldn't be able to do that because of the church service prohibition, whereas every other type of group that would want to come in here.
Well, let's suppose Hazelcrest has a developer in this plan that's developing a strip mall with 12 individual stores. And right now we have this down economic time. And but they're willing to wait it out to see if there's going to be an upturn. Is it your position that 12 similarly situated religious institutions like yours, the one you represent, could fill up all 12 spaces in the spring of 2010 with this ordinance in place?
Getting back to the issue of this being a facial challenge, we're simply looking at what the village zoning ordinance allows. We're saying that gymnasiums, daycare centers, hotels, these all constitute non-religious assembly uses, and therefore under the equal terms provision, religious assembly uses should be allowed as well.
Thank you very much, counsel. The case is taken under advisement, and the court will be in recess.